Welcome to the Board of Education regular meeting. I'd like to note for the record that this is the January 27th, 2014 regularly scheduled meeting that was moved to tonight, January 29th, 2014, due to the inclement weather. The meeting will now come to order. Dean, would you do us the honor of leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please. Mrs. Stecker?
Mr. Escalante?
Here.
Mr. Kenwood?
Here.
Mr. Elder?
Here. Here.
Nelson?
Here.
Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Great, thank you. Public participation. Is there anybody? I'd like to remind the members of the audience that speakers should identify themselves, complete a public participation form, and limit their comments to no more than 3 minutes. Personal complaints and criticisms about staff members, students, or other members of the District 41 community should be initiated privately with the appropriate district representative. Any profanity, interruption, and/or interference with the orderly conduct of the meeting are not permitted. All questions raised will be forwarded to the appropriate District 41 staff representative for a response, if a response is warranted. Is there anyone that would like to address the board at this time?
Mr. Cooper.
Jeff Cooper, Glen Ellen. I asked at the last board meeting about the reviewing of the district's travel policy, along with the suggestion. And I was told that this will be addressed at the next policy committee meeting, which will be when. The website that Mr. Black directed me to shows nothing is scheduled, and the last meeting was over 3 months ago. Can I get an answer tonight, please?
Excuse me?
February 7th?
Yeah, Friday. February 7th. Yep.
Thank you. I also asked about the green line without any response. I expect that when a stakeholder asks a question of the board, that the board will have the decency, in group or individually, to respond. I didn't hear in your public comment rules that you reserve the right to ignore the public. I will not drop this question. This question will be out here for as long as I'm living in town anyways. It needs to get addressed. Moving on. After FOIAing about the Colorado trip was, in spite of the inadequate response, I concluded that short of any outstanding checks or DMO charges, that the trip cost about $3,000. I understand what the superintendent said about the purpose of the trip. I also understood what he said about the $2,000 bicycle church group, and I assume there will be similar comments about the Will Richardson speech from last week that cost us $7,000. So the message I get is that Dr. Gordon's tenure will be filled with events such as these, events that cost the taxpayers thousands of dollars, events that seem to say that our teachers need help in getting the kids to learn. I think you are selling your teachers short. I'll bet that if we cut out all the trips, bike trips, $7,000 speakers, etc., that the level of education received in District 41 wouldn't suffer one bit. All it would take is seven people with a modicum of financial and fiscal responsibility. Thank you.
Anyone else that would like to comment? All right, terrific. You all have the opportunity to comment at the end of the meeting. We look forward to those comments, as always. Presentation reports and initiatives. There are none this evening, is that correct?
Correct.
Well, that's sad. Discussion items. First one, resolution authorizing intervention in proceedings before the DuPage County Board of Review in the State of Illinois Property Tax Appeal Board. Bob.
Can you just brief update, Bob, from that? Basically, at the end of the day, this is about Franzik Radlip continuing to support the district on any tax appeals. Would you?
Correct. They represent us as well as District 87 in property tax appeals. As you know, a couple of years ago, we entered into an agreement with District 87 to share those expenses, and it has continued. This is something different for them to actually appear before the board to appeal anything, any appeals to get to that level of appellate process.
Like me appealing, Bob?
No. Okay. We do not appeal residences, nor do we appeal, I believe it's commercial properties under $500,000. So it's just for businesses and it's those that have properties greater than $500,000.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Any discussion around that? Anybody questions?
Nope.
Terrific. Next discussion item, additional halftime early childhood special education teacher. Paul and Laura, please.
We're required by law to provide early childhood special education services to our children as they reach age 3 and become eligible for services. So when kids are, you know, ages 0 through 3 and require services like OT or PT, they receive those services through the county. As soon as they turn 3, they become our responsibility here within the district. We have several early childhood special education classes over at Forest Glen School that services 3 and 4-year-olds. Every year when we do our staffing, we try to make sure that we have the right number of spots plus a few more in case kids, you know, turn 3 throughout the year, which we know they're going to. This is a little different than your typical kindergarten or first grade enrollment where there's a cutoff September 1st. You know who's turning. These kids roll in throughout the year and come in as the year goes on. So as we have been looking at our staffing and looking at our numbers coming through, we have 2 open spots left. We have 11 children that we know of through the county who are receiving services right now and are likely to receive services through us and become eligible when they turn 3 over the next several months before the end of school year, obviously. So our recommendation is to go ahead and to put into place at least reserving that halftime teacher in the event that we fill those 2 slots and then we have no space for another kid to come in and another kid needs to come in. So that's what we'd like to do and what we'd like to recommend. We do come back to you when we're going above our staff neutral situation, and so we wanted to bring this to you as a recommendation. It's on a bit of a short timeline because the children are turning 3 and we can't stop them from doing that. That's going to happen no matter what, and we want to make sure that we're prepared and can get out there with postings in the event that these two go.
Okay. Any questions? Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I just had a curiosity question. Sure. I know we have in the district a birth to 3 program that prioritizes support services, Carol Faith and...
Yeah, that's more parent education.
That's what I thought.
Right.
Do they also do outreach to the parents to let them know about the services as well?
Yes, and we talked a little bit about that at Finance. Julie had shared with me and reminded me that there are child fine regulations that
right.
we have to actively seek
That's
out.
That's what I was getting at.
Children
Carol talked about
may
that.
Yeah. be eligible for these services. Let them know that the services are available and invite them to be assessed to see if they qualify.
So I asked that question because I was trying to figure out, you know, I know we have to do outreach as part of it.
How it all fits in.
Right, and I know she said she has parents on the waiting list as well, so.
And that's what that
part
of
yeah.
So is this something we're going to be voting on tonight?
It will be.
And so maybe I missed this, but it's one, we have one additional person that's driving the need for the additional halftime?
We have 2 spots available and 11 children that we believe will be.
So we're filling 9 with the
right.
halftime.
And the proposal, you know, our operation that we should do is add an additional morning session, put it in the large room where the kids are right now so that those morning kids can kind of flow so you don't have a class with just 2 kids in it. But also so you don't disrupt the schedules of these kids and aren't flipping the morning staff.
So do all 9 get the same education? Depending
on their IEP.
And we feel one, I mean, do we know the 9 situations and feel one teacher can do that, or?
Well, we do because they qualify for the services that are typically provided by this type of teacher. We have 4 sections, four sections of early childhood. There are 2 sections of early childhood right now that are being taught by a variety of needs with the kids by the early childhood special education teacher.
Okay.
Did I answer your question, John?
Yeah, you did. Anybody ask questions? All right.
And let me just clarify, and thanks to Maureen, we will be taking action on the I apologize, the Franzick-Radliff tax appeals. Mm-hmm. We won't be taking action tonight on the special education teacher. I just want to make sure we clarify that piece. That's in the next. That'll be next week's.
Do we need to because of time?
We're feeling.
It would be great if we could, but I don't want to do anything that would disrupt protocol or put the board in a bad situation in terms of posting the plan.
Anybody against doing that?
I'm not uncomfortable taking the vote. I mean, if there's understanding, other comments from board members.
Now, we talked about this in finance.
We talked about it in finance.
We talked about it pretty long in finance.
You guys vetted it already.
So under superintendent recommendations, we just add that.
I say let's follow protocol so we don't set precedent, so somebody doesn't come down the path and say, you did it once, why can't you do it for me? If we've done it before, and this isn't our first time, I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. If this is our first time...
Is there a need? I mean, is there an over-revolving...
A pressing need to have it hired? I'm looking...
We'll be okay.
We can make it till the next board meeting?
We can.
Okay. That'd probably make everybody feel a little bit more comfortable. I'm getting a lot of signals from my crowd. A lot of heads. I'm not very good at reading lips, but I can definitely understand this pretty quickly.
You have a death ray coming through the back of the room. Yes.
So let's take Patrick's recommendation.
I appreciate John bringing that up.
I do too.
It's important for us as a board, also in a residence meeting, to recognize that sometimes protocol, we can challenge it in terms of need, but if you're saying that's okay,
we'll
then
be
that's fine.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
Thanks for my team.
Just don't do it again.
Okay,
fantastic.
Great. I just saw a member of the public walk in. We did public participation. Did you want to speak now or later? Okay. All right. Action items. Consent agenda. Are there any items board members would like removed from the consent agenda to be considered separately? Hearing none, we have a motion to approve the consent agenda, which includes human resources, personnel report, employment recommendations, resignations, dismissal, finance, facilities and operations, the treasurer's report, investment schedule, monthly revenue expenditure summary report, summary of bills and payroll, school district pay order, vandalism damage report, disposal surplus of property, 2013-14 Florida report, other matters, approval of board meeting minutes for January 13, 2014, for a regular meeting, January 13, 2014, another meeting, regular meeting, closed session, January 22, 2014, special board meeting, and January 22nd, 2014, special board meeting, closed session. Anybody like any of that pulled? No? Right. Roll call?
We need a motion.
Motion?
Motion.
Second.
Oh, I can't do that. Roll call. Discussion? No? Roll call.
Mr. Connelly?
Yes.
Mr. Alger?
Yes.
Mr.
Kuczynski? Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
All right, great. Second roll call. Superintendent's recommendation, intergovernmental cooperation agreement for food. As it's January 13, 2014 meeting, the board discussed the administration's recommendation to extend the district's intergovernmental agreement with Marquard School District 15 through January 30, 2017 for food service to all District 41 schools. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation as presented.
Motion. Second.
Discussion.
Just had a question. I know that last year was the first year. Maybe this is for you, Bob, but we're running a surplus of almost $98,000. I've read through the numbers, but what's the easy answer, response to that in terms of a surplus at this point?
Well, actually, I think that was a deficit of $98,000 for last year.
Was $91,200
for 2020. But this year, right now, we're running a surplus in that account, and I believe it's due to increased student sales and also probably a delay in receipt of government. Government reimbursement for the National School Lunch Program. We operate on a cash basis, so when I went and I looked at the books, from July 1st on, there could have been some dollars received during July and August and September that were applicable to the last fiscal year.
It looks like
just off the top, that would be my
And last year we also had a number of one-time costs.
Correct.
Right.
That were incurred. Yeah.
The big expense that's not as high pro rata is your contract management. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just when we're paying our invoices.
Absolutely.
So that's the one that explained it to me.
Because this is year to date till now.
Yeah. Correct. Right. As of when I had the last finance report, which was early January.
So if the way we're paying is the same on the contract, that's good, because at least we're getting our cash in before we have to
pay out. Right.
Yeah,
we're in a better
that's
position
what
at this
shows.
Point. Okay. Thank you.
And one point of closure, I did ask to have the contracts in the full amount, for I was convinced that it's a non-needle mover, so it was in the meeting notes, so I just want to close. I'm not asking for it anymore.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Roll call.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mr. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Alger?
Yes.
Mr. Eller?
Yes.
Mr. Kuchinski?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes. All right. Resolution authorizing intervention in proceedings before the DuPage County Board of Review and the State of Illinois Property Tax Appeal. Earlier tonight, the board discussed the administration's recommendation to approve an extension to the agreement with our attorneys, Franzik, Redlett, to intervene on the district's behalf on matters related to State of Illinois property tax appeals. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation as presented?
Motion. Second.
Discussion?
Pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. The information was enough.
Great. Roll call.
Mr. Alger?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, great. Superintendent's report?
Well, I have one item tonight, and it's about the survey. Julie and Karen and myself continue to work with the company School of Perceptions, and this survey would be the targeted survey, wouldn't be the large overarching community survey. The survey would reach out to parents, teachers, and students from fourth grade through 8th grade. The types of questions would be done in three buckets. One would be measuring the overall satisfaction of with the district, focused on academics, finances, facilities, stakeholder relationships with the district itself. The next bucket would be the teacher specialization multi-age, the multi-age in 4th, 5th. So there would be a section devoted just for those two topics. And then the third section would be from a national database of questions, so we can start norming ourselves to others throughout the country. So those will be, we're in the process right now of having conversations back and forth with schools' perceptions. We'll hopefully have that concluded in the next couple of weeks. As far as a timeline, we hope to be able to move it fairly quickly, and that we would be able to bring the data back to the board for its second board meeting in March, but that still may be an aggressive timeline. But that's right now one of our goals, is to have that to the board at that last board meeting in March.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
Your second bucket.
Yes.
Teacher specialization, multi-age at 4th and 5th.
Yes.
Are we going to limit the respondents to that to students, teachers, and parents of those students who are in 4th and 5th for the multi-age?
Those are the pieces we're working through. Okay. With School of Perceptions, and trying to make sure that we get will a branch, will the survey itself say, okay, I'm a parent of a level 3, and then I would be able to ask or answer questions on that. I'm a 8th grade parent.
Mm-hmm.
Would it still be able to branch off and not ask that multi-age question? So we're still working through those nuances of it yet. The most important thing is that we have a survey that allows for the individuals who are participating in multi-age teacher specialization,
yes,
and for all the other areas as well, to be able to give quality feedback to the district. That's the purpose here.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we're pretty early into this. We've had one question conversation with school perceptions that lasted about an hour, so we have many other conversations that need to occur. Julie, Karen, anything you would add to that? Okay. All right.
Oh, I know you talked about the fourth, fifth graders with the multi-age. Is there a reason we wouldn't do the second, third?
This year is in it's in level three only. We will probably be asking parents in that level two grouping, but it's important that they branch so we know that it's their beliefs, their thinking of what it could be because they haven't experienced it maybe. But those are the pieces we're really working with the expert in this field.
Yeah, I mean, I would, you know, there's an expectation going in maybe as level two.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be, again, the experts can help direct us, but
yeah.
It might be nice to understand what the expectation is.
Okay.
And then,
absolutely.
You know, that could help you design. So, you know, if the expectation is, you know, some sort of anxiety, it may drive a way that we try to address that.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, it'd be after they go through it. I mean, they'll be the first ones that we could survey in this light, that then go through it and say, okay, what was your expectation, and what was the afterwards, and do we see improvement? Or I mean, those are the
types of questions we're working with them on. It's kind of that level, where are you at with this?
Yeah, I think
that'd be an
example,
we
should ask
the pre-post opportunity.
Yeah, I think we should ask the survey folks about that. Mm-hmm. I thought in the beginning. Well, I'm sorry. Does anybody else have anything?
No,
you.
No, I would second what you're saying is, you know, if it's going out to those students, those parents who are going to be doing it next year, kind of like, what have you heard? What are your expectations? What do you expect to happen at the end? So I think that's...
We just want to make sure we get the right questions, that it can branch to that level, and that we're asking the appropriate questions as opposed to, what was your experience in level three?
Oh, yeah.
And it's not the right grouping. So we just want to make sure that it gets to the right people.
Right.
So the data is clean.
Yeah.
Well, the good news there is, you know, they're in the classroom, and, right? So it's not like they're sitting at home on the web.
Yeah.
Right? And I thought at the beginning you said 4th through 8th grade.
Yeah, and we talked to, his name is Bill Foster, our connection to School of Perceptions. And he said, yeah, again, he's done this with countless schools. He said the data really, it's not great data when they're surveying students younger than fourth grade. Because now you're really having to change the questions dramatically. You can do it, but again, the cost.
So this has nothing to do with the fact that we started fourth grade. It's that...
This was his belief, his recommendation, he being the expert in survey, saying, we like to survey kids, and we want to, but our recommendation is from fourth grade on up. It has nothing to do with, we don't want to hear from the second and third.
The first bucket is overall satisfaction. So, I mean, previously, when we did the surveys, you know, about bullying, do you feel safe?
Those are the type of questions we'd be asking.
Was that, did we do that in K through 8, or did we do...
Fourth was the
lowest. Fourth was, so that's consistent with what we did in the past.
Quick question. I have you included, again, some of the questions from our original survey. I know several of us have asked about the flow through, so I'm assuming that...
Yes, we have.
And then, so what's the options for media? Online, written tool?
So we are hoping a vast majority will be online.
Mm-hmm.
There will be options for a paper copy, but all of them will have secure codes so we know everybody takes one survey, no matter if it's paper or online. And again, School Perceptions will be the one collecting all that data. Our main tool will be online. That's what we're hoping for. We'll also do a lot of communication Because we really want to make sure that we get a high participation rate.
Mm-hmm. And again, what are your recommendations for that?
Do you remember what the percent that we're looking for to make sure that it's... Did we get into that?
I'm sorry, I didn't state my question fully. Not percentage of return, but what are their suggestions around the communication piece?
They have shared with us a kind of beginning framework
that was one of the things I think I mentioned that I had a chance to talk to the Director of Communications in Mount Prospect. That was one of their... and I mentioned also that that's up on their website. And she said that that was part of the what they liked the best about working with Bill Foster, because he came, once it was aggregated and it was out there, he himself as president came and, provided that to the board and the community and gave that information. So I like that, the person who's started with us will walk us through to the end to be able to give us that feedback. So I think that's a plus for the community, but for the board as well, to hear from him. So.
Yeah, for us, that was a must. That was important to have him bring the data back to the board and present the information to you.
Thank you.
So you talked about the third bucket, the national one.
Yeah.
So, there are a lot of national trends going on, some that are irrelevant to our district mm-hmm. and others that aren't. So we will...
We'll weed those out. We have a lot of input. So we've shared with him some early... types of questions. We need to hear back from him on that national piece. We haven't seen that. But yes, we'll definitely weed and that they're very appropriate for District 41.
I mean, I feel that sometimes which we should deal with some of the less fortunate issues, but we also need to think about the other populations. That,
I appreciate that.
So what are we signing up to? In other words...
This is an update. It's definitely going to come under the $10,000 mark. So we'll, as administration, we'll just keep moving this forward. I'll keep you updated. I'll make this a consistent superintendent report and let you know every board meeting where we're at, what we're doing.
But when I say commit, I guess I should use the word vision. What's the vision here? The vision is we're going to do this. They're going to help us design it. And is the vision... they're going to repeat this annually, we're going to administer it?
I would like to, if we continue it, and I would like to see us continue it, it's nice to have some trend data. We have to have discussions around, is it every year? Is it every other year? Is it 18 months? Because I think it's important that we continue the survey. Now, some of the very specific topics may go away over time, but we really want to see some of those questions that were asked in previous years continued, so we know how are we doing, how are we meeting the needs of our community and our stakeholders. So that would be my recommendation, that we would see this every year or every 18 months. And those were some of his recommendations. I think his was 18 months, was it, Julie? Somewhere around there.
See, I mean, I would think, unless there's another mechanism, given we're in the throes of an implementation, that we should consider a shorter time frame than 2 or 3 years or 18 months, whatever.
Yeah.
At least initially.
Mm-hmm. I'm comfortable with that.
It sounds like he understands our aggressive time frame too.
He does.
He wouldn't have taken this on, so.
He's been fantastic to work with, communicating to him our needs, been very responsive, pleased with the relationship so far.
And the goal of implementing it, getting it out, is?
We would hope that we would have it back to you by that last board meeting in March. It's very aggressive. Again, I'm hopeful that we can meet that timeline. But that's still a pretty aggressive, because there's still a lot of back and forth with the questions and ensuring that we have the right questions and that he has time with them.
to ensure that we're asking enough of the questions and then asking that same question multiple ways.
Just the point of clarification, getting the results back, so getting it out to the public, it is the teachers, mm-hmm. kids, parents, and then the results coming back.
Yeah.
That's a good
point. That's aggressive.
All right. Well,
again, I hope to meet it, mm-hmm. but I want to get a little wiggle room in there.
Okay.
But we knew this is important. We know this is an important piece of the community. He has been, he's working with us on our timeline. So I'm pleased. I'm pleased, like I said, with the relationship.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I feel our timeline, to me, I feel we're behind.
Well, I was thinking about that, John, but then, with the rollout, if you're surveying, in the fall or even in December, we haven't really finished a whole semester. And although it feels, you're right, I feel like we are running behind. At the same time, it has to have some traction mm-hmm. in order for us to be able to get some of that feedback from mm-hmm. parents who've then gone through
yep.
conferences, mm-hmm. Those pieces.
So. I agree. I mean, I had the same thought. And when I say behind, I think, we need to be able, if you want to get a semester in, we want to be able to come out early in January and execute this, right? So there's a time where it's too early, you're right, you don't have it, but, quite frankly, and it's really the board's responsibility. We are behind in this timeline because we said we were going to do it. It's important. So next year, we're doing, another significant implementation, expanding the program, assuming, the mm-hmm. feedback comes back that way. And if that's the case, we need to make sure we're coming out of the gate in January, not still putting questions together and blah blah blah, right? We need to be able to come out and execute, because at the end of the day, if this is done at the end of March, this gets communicated to the community some type of April time frame, we got 60 days to course correct or whatever. So, and I mean, we have the summer too, but
yeah.
I mean, every day is important when it comes to an implementation program and the feedback that we get. So
and I think it's also important that there is the formative data out there, teachers, mm-hmm. us talking with the teachers, right. with parents, and other people.
Yeah, it's not that there hasn't been.
It just hasn't been this formal of a survey.
Right.
I think the timings, this is the right time to be asking these questions of our teachers, of our students, and of our parents. Mm-hmm. I think this March timeline, there has been a number of months now. Mm-hmm. It's been implemented. Some of that early piece transition change is going by the wayside. They know what it is now. So I think this March time to ask these questions is appropriate. But the nice piece for next year, if we want to do it again next year, we will have the tool ready to go, minus some tweaking here and there.
Yeah. It won't be the startup.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm putting you on the spot here, but based on the non-survey that's going out, do we have any initial thoughts around the program, the implementation, or based on other conversations that you've had and discussions with teachers? Or
so one of the pieces that came up in the board workshop was Karen, myself, Julie will be going with us, going to be doing a listening tour at all the buildings. I've already started with Forest Glen. Based off of the level 3 teacher's response, it was very positive. They were saying, you know what? I was apprehensive at the beginning of the year. It was a lot of unknown. I did a lot of prep work, but it was still something new. But the teachers, the level 3 teachers who spoke, and it was very candid conversation. No one was holding back in this conversation. I will be really honest with you. The level 3 literacy teachers, They like it. They see growth in students. I believe one of them said, right now it's hard to tell who's the 4th and 5th graders in my classroom. They're blending in well, but I'm going to be continuing those conversations. We just put out a schedule for other schools to have the same opportunity with us to sit back and listen, and that's one of our questions we're asking. So that's another way of collecting data. And again, I think our teachers are very honest, and they're not trying to sugarcoat anything or, the superintendent's here, so I can't say anything. I did not feel that way at all at Forest Glen. It was a good, honest, safe conversation, and I really valued their feedback. And so did Karen. I mean, we took copious notes. We asked some probing questions, but it was a good opportunity.
Okay. Anything else for?
Nope. That's it for me tonight.
Any board reports?
Finance. Finance. We had four things we talked about. We talked about our auditor presented the gaffer and the final audit report. We talked about the halftime early childhood special education issue that was also discussed at the board. We talked about Mike presented a technology refresh that'll probably come to the full board for the next meeting. And then we talked about the elementary school funding recommendations, and Paul's going to put finalize the recommendation for the full board for next meeting.
I have a couple of things real quick. One is that on the 18th, I attended the POW meeting, which is the It is Powerful Outstanding Women. Yes, Powerful Outstanding Women. And I was the only guy there. I felt very threatened. but I did go, and I want to call out a few people. One is, first off, they had 210 people attended, which is really remarkable because, and I'll screw this up a little bit, but there's around 160 or so that attended it 2 years ago, mm-hmm. about 140 last year, and then it jumped to 210 this year. So mm-hmm. really going in the right direction. That's item number one. Number two was that the people who run it are exemplary. To see the amount of organization that goes into this day on a Saturday, they're very early in the morning. I think the volunteers got there around 6 or so in the morning, to kick this thing off.
Is it a local community thing?
It's Hadley, and it's for the girls at Hadley. So Hillary Shoemake, who is one of our literacy teachers, she's a Hadley literacy teacher. She 8th grade? 6th grade, okay. She runs it, and she's very well thought of by, you kind of poll some of the parents to what they think of it. They deify her. They think that she's doing a wonderful job, and you can see it in her energy. She pointed out a few parent volunteers. There's, I don't know everybody on here, but there's a Denise McGrath, Cheryl Varvate, Jen Iacino, and Elise Brinnick, who all were lead parent volunteers who did a lot of work to get this thing together. What they did, there was a keynote speaker by the name of Tiffany Broussard, so she kicks it off, and she's a professor of speech communications at COD, DeVry, and Waubonsie College. So she kind of kicks it off to get everybody going and the motivation and all going in the right direction. And she talked about some bullying things that was really kind of interactive and very cool to show people how best to address that. She also talked about self-image and things like that. And on top of there, I won't read them all, but then what happens is that after that they have all these different sessions they can go to. And they pick a couple of these sessions, and they go off to them, to participate in them, and then they all come back at the end and kind of share some of the results. But it was a really good program and something that is great to see grow. You know, and it took a lot of effort by these people to get that there. So that is go ahead.
Did they see you? And of course, you were a representative there, but did they see you as a D41 representative and ask questions? I'm looking for...
As I got there, I made sure I introduced myself to all the people running it, and I stayed all the way in the back. So once this thing kicked off, I wanted them just to go ahead and do it without...
I didn't know, on the outside, the hallways...
There's where I talked to a lot of people.
Okay.
I talked to a lot of people in the hallways, and actually it came up in the PTA meeting that they have at Hadley, is how I found out about it, by going to the PTA meeting there, and they talked about it, and they've been working on it for a while. But to see it go from 140 or so to 210 is just phenomenal to see all these girls there. And they're all, they're getting, you know, these are good life skills and things that they're talking about. And it's only a half a day, but it was a pretty impressive organization. So I wanted to make sure we called that out and got that in the minutes here today. Also, probably like a lot of you, I attended one of the facility meetings, and I'm sure some of the others did too. And I thought that my surprise there, my takeaway there was that we had a lot of people saying, hey, this is great, you're phase one, phase two, but we want to go phase two now. You know, so now these are people who attended the meeting, so it's not representing the whole community. And then in addition to that, I know some of you were at the meeting. Are you going to cover that, the Francis Redlett School?
You can talk about
that.
I have just one comment.
Okay. So we, our attorneys, Francis Redlett, do a school law conference. It was Saturday the 25th. Went to that. It was extremely well attended. I was shocked at the amount of people there. I saw a lot of the administrators there and a few of the board members. And it was a very good day, very interactive. Again, a lot of sessions you can sign up for, covering all types of school law issues that matter to us. So it was time well spent.
Great. Thank you. Anybody else?
I have two quick ones. Like Dean, I went to one of the PTA meetings that discussed the additions for the four K-5s. That was Forest Glen on January 14th. There was 30-plus people there, probably maybe even closer to 40. Bob gave a great presentation. There was a long Q&A afterwards. I'd say overall, pretty similar to probably what you felt, Dean. There was, we're ready to go at Forest Glen. You know, let us go early, and like Lincoln and Ben Franklin. So, you know, that was good to get that positive feedback. The other event I went to was on Saturday night. I went to Lincoln's fifth grade musical, The Pirates, which was at Hadley. Kids did a fantastic job. It was about a 40-minute presentation, 30-plus kids up on stage, and it was fun.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Just to follow up on the Forensic Conference, Sam picked up a book for Patrick and for...
Actually, I have.
Oh, you have?
I have them in the trunk.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Some light reading material for you guys.
Yeah.
It's about that thick with all the stuff.
What's good about it is, they break the conference down into these choices. You saw it when we got the invitation, so that when you pick up your name tag and then they remind you what you signed up for a month and a half ago, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But Dean and Sam and I all attended the school construction, and Bob was there, of course, school construction. And, you know, one of my takeaways, I made a note on this, was that it gave really good insight. They set it up as a case study so that you would walk through some of the requirements and codes, Illinois school code, different from municipal, that type of thing. But my takeaway in thinking about our past project, certainly, but our current project, too, at least, you know, where we are with putting out bids, is it reinforced the decision to hire the construction manager. Because some of what was brought up in the case study were issues that really came back to potentially haunt this, you know, phantom district, because there hadn't been a set of eyes separate from. So it's that audit and that kind of oversight. And so it was a good reinforcement of the decision to do that. So that was a great takeaway. But I think you'll find the book interesting. One thing they did different this year than in the past, more so, is in each of the tabs they have the outline with the slides, but then they have an FAQ for several. I think in all three that I went to, they had an FAQ in the back that really did a nice summary. So one of the FAQs that I think would be important for all of us to take a look at is the one on para and reduction in force FAQs, especially with regard to the new state law around para, and should there be an appeal, how the board is involved with that. And that was the training that we're all required to do in order to have that experience. So I just thought that was really helpful. The other thing, and this is something relatively new for Forensic, but they have, and you might have seen this, but they have a women's network of school administrators specifically for women professionals in the field to speak specifically about law issues, et cetera. So I asked Andrew, actually, there. So can non-administrators go? for me, so I might sneak in with you guys if you go. But just very well done, as always. So some good sessions. I was at the Ben Franklin CTA meeting last Thursday, the 23rd, at 3:30. It's the one meeting I think they hold during the year that's right after school, so they can capture teachers as well as, you know, parents that might be in between. And I'd say we had about probably 40 people there, maybe like 15 teachers. I think Kirk Samples, the principal, was really pleased with that. One of the two things, they have student ambassadors who always kick off the meeting, and I think do a great job with that. And they spoke specifically about a project which has tied in again to some of their problem-based learning, but it was to do some work with an organization called Feed My Starving Children, which a lot of people are familiar with. But so the two students did a nice job with presenting that, and I think it's a great opportunity for kids to speak and gain that confidence. And then the teachers, K first and then level two and level three teachers, gave an update on coursework. I just thought it was great examples of, again, the PBL models, problem-based learning, the integration of writing and some of the content curriculum that I thought was really good to hear and how they're plugging that in. And then just finally also, I know none of this happens at all of our schools, but it happened to be at Franklin that they presented it, but just the level of collaboration, certainly within the levels, but then among the teachers from our specials, but also within grade levels. So if level two is doing something that kind of pushes up or pushes down, there's some of that collaboration already starting. So they did a nice job. I was really glad that I could be there for that. And then Paul and Bob and Julie, again, were there to present the facility presentation. And the takeaway is much the same. Very good questions. I would say the best question was from a parent who asked, if District 41 is adding classroom space, why do we need to right-size buildings? And what it allowed us to get into was the idea of the context of the original size of the building and how we've grown out of that. We've certainly made accommodations at all of the buildings for those extra students. Mm-hmm. But as we, you know, move into this discussion around phase one, and then as we decide how we're going to move forward, then that brings kids in, but it also impacts infrastructure. So we're bringing kids back into a building that was originally meant to house 400 students or whatever the number might be for our... and so good head nodding on that in terms of answering some of that question. I think the other one was also being able just to talk about changes in programs, special needs student programs, and then just facility changes, program driving facility, and the needs for that. At the Franzic conference, there were several Hadley. Steve Dively was there, the principal, Gina, assistant principal, several teachers, which I hadn't seen before. Maybe I just didn't, you know, pick it up. Jeff Burke from Ben Franklin, assistant principal. And there were a couple of the staff from Franklin who were at the Franzic conference that pulled me aside to say that they got a lot of feedback the next day after the presentation. Mm-hmm. From parents, just anecdotally, glad to be in their space talking about it and getting that perspective. I think it summed up in an email that we all got as board members from a parent, not from Ben Franklin, but just talking about, using her term, supportive of the common sense practical proposal for phase one. So I would say that sums up, you know, some of the feedback we've been hearing at all the schools. And one last thing, and I'm trying to find the date, but I think, you know, we're all getting the e-news from the different schools, but I want to highlight Churchill's International Festival, which they haven't done for a few years. And I know I attended Lincoln's. When did we do it the last time? 2 years ago? Last year, that's right, it was last year. So they're trying to piggyback off of each other, and it's just a great opportunity to see the depth and breadth of the kids. Yeah. So. You know, look for that date. It's in February. I'm trying to remember the date exactly, but it's 6:30. It's on a Friday, maybe the second Friday in February. So,
it's eye-opening how many countries are.
I know. Right, great food, and the kids are great. Yeah. And the parents that come, I think it's great for us as board members to be able to have some touch points with the variety of parents in the district, too. So.
Okay. Yeah. Any other board reports? All right. Terrific. Thank you. Upcoming meetings, February 10th, regular board meeting at 7:30 p.m. at Central Services, and February 24th, regular board meeting, 7:30 p.m. at Central Services. Are there any other matters for the board's consideration? Anybody want to bring anything?
I just have one quick one.
It wasn't on our agenda.
It's kind of an interest one. In the Glen Ellyn News, there was an article about District 87 and the Park District, and I know we had seen some of this before, that they were renegotiating some aspects of their intergovernmental agreement. And so I was wondering if there's any value in us doing that. I don't need comment on it, just putting it out there since, you know, it's since 87 has taken a look at theirs.
The subject was broached. And
the finance
committee,
yes.
With
well,
a lot of
social link. Yep.
With a lot of support.
Okay. Yes. All right. Good. Okay. That's all.
Okay. Great. Anybody else? Okay. Public participation. Is there anyone present that would like to address the board at this time?
Hi. I'll be quick. I just wanted to say, glad to hear about the survey and the timeline for the survey. But I still don't understand even the explanation tonight why we're not going to include level two or second and third graders. I realize that they're not doing multi-age this year, but they are doing teacher specialization, which was a big change, and I think was probably the biggest controversy in the spring for parents. They were most concerned about the social and emotional impact on some of the changes that we were making, especially to the younger elementary school kids, particularly second grade. K through two is kind of lumped together in 3-5, and so we somehow need to capture what's going on with those kids and what teacher specialization is going with them. I think they're perfectly capable of taking a survey. I know our third graders just completed a persuasion project to try to persuade the village of a change they need to make for our community and why to make it better. So if they could take a survey. The only reason that I heard why you wouldn't do it is because of cost, because 4 through 8 is an older group. 2nd and 3rd would have to be different questions, but I know we just spent a couple of $1,000 on a sticker last week for $7,000. I think we could probably afford a couple of $1,000 to make sure we're serving everybody that was affected by the changes this year, to just make sure we're moving forward in the right direction and it's affecting everyone in a positive way. Thank you.
Just for clarification, we said that we would talk to these guys about getting what the kids are feeling in 2-3. Is that what?
We can keep asking him. Again, I'm not a survey expert.
Yeah.
His recommendation to us was we don't get great results anywhere below 4th grade. He's just done this a lot longer than I have. I mean, that's his recommendation, not mine. We can ask again. We can keep pushing to see if there's a different way.
Might there be other ways to get students?
I'm more than happy to ask that question.
And we're going to get parental input from all the grades.
Absolutely.
So the difference is just not asking. We're going to get definitely input from the second grade parents.
Yeah.
So it just may not be the second graders.
I would like to try to understand if there's something around. It goes back to here's what I thought was going to happen before I went into it, and then here's what actually happened. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll keep asking. We'll keep asking.
Anybody else that would like to speak to
this? I'm so agree with you, but I don't. I just didn't want to get up in the middle.
Okay.
Chris Massey. I just wanted to thank you for all your support to the PTA as president of the council. It's great to see you all at our meetings, whether it's the head of the PTA, Forest Glen, or the council, and for always sharing your thoughts here as well. And Dean, thank you for being at Powell. So that's outstanding. It's a wonderful event. So if you have any questions or thought, that you wanted to ask more about that, please let me know. As far as Powell, how that relates to our school. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. We have a need to adjourn to closed session to discuss the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity, collective negotiation matters between the district and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees, and the purchase or lease of real property for the use of the district, including meetings held for the purpose of discussing whether a particular parcel should be acquired. I have a motion to adjourn to closed session.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr.
Tennessee?
Yes.
Mr.
Ellis?
Yes.
Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Kenworth?
Yes.
Joe
Galante? Yes.
Mr. Ellis? Yes. The board will not be taking any action when it returns to open session.
back.
Second.
We're back live.
Motion
John.
Second.
Aye.
An open session adjourned. Motion second.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
All right.
So that means.